This is the L3 Leadership Podcast, episode number 127. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 127 of the L3 Leadership Podcast. My name is Doug Smith, and I'm the founder of L3 Leadership. We're a leadership development company devoted to helping you become the best leader that you can be. In this episode, you're going to get to hear an interview that I had with Melanie Mitro and Katie Ersta, who are two of the top Beachbody coaches in the world. And I do want to encourage you, don't just tune out because they're a Beachbody coach if you're not involved with Beachbody. I think a lot of times companies like Beachbody can get a bad rap, but I've found that those companies actually do a phenomenal job of growing leaders and helping you grow your personal leadership as well as your business skills, which you'll hear in this interview. It was funny. I actually had Melanie speak at one of our breakfasts, and her talk was phenomenal. You can actually listen to that in episode number 46 of the L3 Leadership Podcast. But I had someone that jumped on the podcast, started listening to the talk, found out she was a Beachbody coach, and just said, I'm going to tune out just because they were part of an MLM. But for whatever reason, he ended up listening to the entire episode, and he said that ended up being one of my favorite episodes, and I got so much out of that. And I want to encourage you to do the same. This interview is full of excellent contact, and you're absolutely going to love it. And so before I introduce you to Melanie Mitro and we jump in, I just want to tell you, if you're new to this podcast, we are devoted to bringing you three new episodes every single month to grow your leadership skills. One will always be from the leadership events that we host in our city. One will be an interview that I do with high-level leaders like Melanie and Katie. And then once a month, you'll get a leadership lesson by me as well. If you've been with us for a while, I'd really appreciate it if you would hop on iTunes or whatever you use to listen to this and leave a rating and review. It really does make a difference. And I like to thank our sponsor, Babb Inc., who they are an independent insurance broker, third-party administrator, consulting firm here in Pittsburgh, and they are led by my friend Russell Livingston, and they host all of our monthly breakfast events, and we are just so grateful for them and their passion for developing next-generation leaders. So if your company has any insurance needs or wants to connect with them, they can go to babbins.com. That's B-A-B-B-I-N-S.com. That's B-A-B-B-I-N-S.com. You can check out all the great work that they're doing. So as I mentioned, I had the opportunity to interview Melanie Mitro and Katie Ersta. I've been following both of these ladies for years, and I'm consistently inspired by both of them. It was their story, which you'll hear about. They were both in education when they stumbled upon Beachbody, and their lives have not been the same since. Melanie's actually been the number one coach out of literally hundreds of thousands of coaches for the past 2 years, and Katie's a top coach as well, and her world turned upside down a few years ago when she found out she had cancer, and her whole life changed after that, and she talks about that a little bit in this interview. Both of these ladies have grown immensely as leaders over the past 4 years, and in this episode, we specifically talk about what it takes to get to the top, what it takes to stay there. We talk about leadership development. We talk about daily disciplines. We talk about money, their struggles, and so much more. So with that being said, let's just jump right into the interview. Enjoy it, and I'll be back at the end with a few announcements.
Well, hey, Katie, Melanie, thank you so much for being willing to do this interview. And why don't we just start off with you two telling us a little bit about you and your story?
Sure. Mel, do you want to take the lead here?
I can do that. All right. So I'm Melanie Mitro, and I am a Beachbody coach, and I started coaching, back in 2011, whenever I had just had Bryce, who is my youngest. And so Landon is... he was like two and a half and three, and Bryce was 6 months at that time. And so I found Beachbody because I was looking for a solution to that post-baby belly thing that I had going on. And so somebody on Facebook, actually my husband's friend from high school, his wife was one of my Facebook friends, and she was a brand new Beachbody coach. And so she reached out to me because I made a Facebook post about eating celery and trying to lose weight. And so, you know, that was kind of like a really good target. I was a target for her. So anyways, I joined the Summer Slim Down Challenge group. And I did Insanity with a group of women that were trying to all get in shape, that were kind of at the same part in their life, that whole weight loss part. And so so that was sort of my first experience with Beachbody as a customer. And then from there, I really just fell in love with the idea of challenge groups. It was having with other women that were my age that were going through the same things that I was going through with small kids at home. And I connected with all of these other people. And I loved that I could log into Facebook and sort of have this community. And then they taught me so much about clean eating and about how to fuel my body with good food. And it was something that I just embraced because I really grew up with the mindset of, you know, Weight Watchers was a big thing. My mom did Weight Watchers. I know Katie did that too, but it was like the 100-calorie packs and like really small portions and all those freezer meals. And it didn't work for me. And I had a really jaded view of what nutrition was like. And so when I learned about clean eating, that was sort of my thing. And I just ran with it. I started teaching my family and people around me. And so coaching was one of those things that I saw the opportunity to be able to really teach people what I was learning and how much it had changed my life. And so I signed up to be a coach in July of 2011. I started in May with my transformation. So it's like 4 months into my journey with Beachbody. And my husband was not very happy that I decided to become a coach. I actually took my money that I got for a birthday present, and that was how I paid for my sign up fee to get signed up. And I didn't even tell him that I signed up in person. He's gonna be mad. But I just had this vision of just if I could transform one person's life the way that I had been transformed, then I was going to do my job. And so I had no business goals. I had no idea what network marketing was. I had no idea what the whole beach fight. I didn't get that at all. When people asked me what my goals were, my coach did, I was like, I don't know. I just want to help people. And that was really me. So I would say over the course of, you know, a couple of months in the first year, I really sort of began to understand. And I actually had to Google what network marketing was. I had to Google what a pyramid scheme was because I think I got that question a lot. I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. I'm just helping people in challenge groups. So that, I mean, is my story of where I started. And I have my master's degree in special education. My undergrad is psychology. So I have nothing related to business or marketing or social media. This is all sort of self-taught. So that's me in a nutshell.
That's great, Katie.
Yeah, so Melanie and I actually went to college together, and I noticed that she was posting a lot about P90X, and I had ordered Insanity, and the reason that I had ordered Insanity was because my husband and I had taken on a new mortgage, and it was heavy, and it was a lot, and so we gave up all the extras. You know, gym memberships were gone, and just dinners out and everything, it was gone. And so I ordered Insanity off of, it was like eBay or Craigslist. It wasn't even off of anybody. And I got it, and I started the program on my own because I never even connected what coaching was or how it all worked. So I did it on my own, and it was a program that is a 8-week program, and I think it took me 6 months to do. It took me quite some time to do because I didn't have any guidance. I didn't have accountability. I was doing it in the morning, but I would stop, or I would take a week off, or I would get sick and then I would start all over. But when I did finish, I felt very much like I had accomplished something major, like something that I was really, really proud of. And I did see results, not great results because I didn't have any nutritional understanding, but I achieved results. And I just reached out to Melanie and I said, listen, I know that you're doing this coaching thing, and I just finished Insanity. Am I a coach? I didn't even understand. Like, I thought that when you finish a program, you just upgrade to quote unquote a coach. And so again, like Melanie, I didn't know what MLM was. I didn't know what network marketing was at all. And honestly, when I started for months afterwards, I didn't understand any of that. And so it actually brings up this question. And I was thinking about this is, can you just debunk any of the myths of network marketing? And I have to tell you, it is a very, in my opinion, what I've experienced so far with it is you have to love what you do and you have to be very hands-on with it to be successful. You know, over the past 4 years that I've been doing this, this has truly become a full-time job because I have put full-time effort into it. And I also think it's not a one-size approach business. The way people look at any type of business like this is, It has to fit into their belief system. It has to fit into what they value. And for me, my value was I saw results and I needed to take care of myself. I needed to, as a mom, put that extra amount of effort into taking care of myself so I could be a better mom, a better wife. And coaching for me was about that accountability that it gave me as a mom and as a wife, as a friend, as a teacher, because if I was taking care of me, it had a ripple effect on the rest of my life.
That's really cool. Yeah, it was funny. Actually, Melanie, we had you speak at one of our breakfasts early on, and we recorded that and put it on the podcast. And I had a friend tell me, he said, I started listening to the episode with Melanie, and she was a beach body coach, and I almost just shut it off because I said, here we go again with another pyramid scheme. And it ended up being one of his favorite episodes. I want to dive into personal leadership. I mean, you both have teaching backgrounds. No business experience, and now you're entrepreneurs tearing it up. I think that's so interesting. Can you talk about the development side of what being a part of an MLM has taught you? Because I think it's extremely valuable, the skills that they teach you to actually be successful. So, Melanie, you're the number one coach. Katie, you're up there. Can you guys talk about just what it takes to actually get to where you're at? With so many people coming after you, what development lessons have you learned? What price have you had to pay to get there? Starting from scratch with no experience at all.
Sure. So I would say, you know, the price that I had to pay would be just personal time. The cool part about Beachbody and any business, you know, and if you look at, just because we're a network marketing business doesn't mean we won't have the same principles as it would be if you opened a brick and mortar business. Yeah. And there are so many parallels, but I think people kind of get in their head that this is different for some reason, you know, because it's all done behind, a lot of what we do is done behind a computer screen, is through social media. But it's the same principles. It's the exact same principles of building the business. And so for me, I didn't have that background. I didn't have any of those skills. So I spent a ton of time on Google, on YouTube, you know, watching, listening to audiobooks, reading, you know, The Slight Edge and The Compound Effect and a lot of John Maxwell books and anything that I could get my hands on. And so when I think about what did it take to get to where I am, well, it took discipline to say, I'm not going to hit snooze. I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to press play on my workout. And then I'm going to be disciplined enough to sit down at the computer and do my work instead of, you know, watching Regis and Kelly, you know, or watching the news. It was just that, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays, instead of sleeping in, I would get up. And I just created these disciplines in my life where any pocket of free time that I could find, I would build my business. I'd educate myself. I would learn about social media. I would try new things until I figured out what worked. And it was a lot of failures. It was a lot of, oh, that didn't work. Let's try something else. Or, oh, you know, I thought that was going to be a great idea, but it totally flopped. And so, you know, for me, it was just the sacrifices really came for myself. It was sleep a lot of times, and it was free time. I went from, you know, every evening after dinner, getting on the couch and watching reruns of shows on TV, to that just went away. It became time to build my business, right? And I would say that the first 2 years are the hardest, because you're building this business with, I always say this, like, just trust me. I say that to my team, just trust me. It's all going to come together. But you do, it's sort of that faith and being able to sort of have a vision for where you're going, and you're working a lot of hours for a little bit of money at the beginning. It takes a while for that to come together. So, Katie, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say that's just in MLMs. This is in any business that you start. I mean, the first time it takes, it's just day after day, just belief, this vision, this whatever you're focused on becomes your reality. So just like Melanie said, a lot of it is behind the scenes. You have to teach yourself. And the thing is, you really have to have the discipline to be able to do it. And I think that's one of the benefits of network marketing, is it teaches you like the structure of a business, but you are the one that has to be disciplined enough to be able to apply those skills. So the skills that you learn in a business, you know, whether it's Rodan and Fields, LuLaRoe, whatever the company is, the discipline is there. You have to be disciplined enough in your schedule, in the management of your team, in your social media accounts. You have to be disciplined and consistent in order to start seeing results. And it does take time. And, you know, Melanie is my upline. I don't know if I had mentioned that earlier, but it was a constant. And still to this day, it's a, okay, like you have to trust this process. You know, Katie, this is, there's a growth part of the business right now that you have to believe in, and you have to have that vision of where you want to go. So I think just to add to that, it's just, there are so many lessons that you have to be willing to learn when you start this, and you cannot think that this is going to be a quick fix, that this is going to be something fast, that the results are going to come in, that I'm going to put a picture up on social media and people are just going to roll to me and they're going to want to know more about what I do. There's so much consistency that goes into it. Absolutely. It doesn't matter what business you do. You have to be disciplined and consistent.
Yeah. So one thing I'd be curious on the leadership end. So obviously if you're disciplined, I'm assuming that enabled you to be peak performers individually. But I know, Melanie, we were talking about a lot of coaches. The problem they have is they might be able to perform on their own, but once they need to take that step to actually start leading people and make that jump, it's a little more difficult for people. Was that a difficult transition for you guys to go from performing and selling and recruiting coaches to actually leading teams of coaches? Was that hard? And how did you learn to make that jump?
Do you want me to do that?
I think we both have different experiences.
Yeah, I think so. Sure. I remember, and so in Beachbody, we have the ranks for those that aren't familiar with it, right? And so diamond is kind of like the symbol of leadership. You know, everybody always says, you've arrived at the destination. You've built sort of the framework, and we consider you a leader in the company because you're diamond. But at that point, some people are still really new, and leadership is kind of this scary beast. And you have people that sort of, I mean, freak out that they're now a leader. And that's a difficult role to come into. And so what I went through was, it was sort of this 6-month period. And I can remember sitting down with my calendar, trying to block it out. Okay, when am I going to build my team? When am I going to build my personal time? And I can remember not knowing where those boundaries were going to be. And I remember feeling very out of balance with that. And I remember somebody telling me about the 80-20 rule, right? And so 80% of my time should be spent building my personal business, and 20% should be building my team. And I was very much flipped at the beginning, because here I was thinking these two or three new people that I had that wanted to work the business were going to be it. And I quickly learned in leadership that that's not the case at all, right? There, you sometimes have to go through quite a few people that realize this isn't for them until you find the ones that sort of stick. And so that was a lesson that I learned early on. I read a lot of John Maxwell, and I read The Personality Plus by Florence Littauer. And that was a big book for me when I came into that leadership role, because I didn't know how to work with other people. And I was really bad at working with people with different personality styles than me, because I'm such like a red goal setting, just get the bottom line, like no fun. We're just working hard. And so those were lessons that I learned along the way that, you know, I might have had some bridges burned because I was not very good at understanding other people. But there was sort of this 6-month period where I was kind of figuring out that leadership, and it did not come natural, but I was willing to, again, just like when I started my Beachbody business in the sales side of it, I had to teach myself. I had to go find the resources to educate myself to become a better leader. So, Katie?
I would just say too, with the leadership part, it's not like really something that you earn as much as you just kind of become the leader. And that comes with time too. So no matter what rank you are, how long you've been in the business, leadership comes after a lot of failure, a lot of self-reflection. And I know for me personally, it has just been a journey. It is, you know, you feel like you're a certain rank in the company, so you automatically become a leader. And that really isn't the case. It is so much self-awareness. And I know that Melanie talked a lot about her. She's very goal oriented. You know, she can really focus. And for me, I'm a very relationship based person. So I really want to go out and I want to make sure everybody's happy, everybody's satisfied, everybody's good. Like everybody's just content and we're all getting along. And so for me, one of the parts of the business that has been hard is the relationships, because I really truly want to develop relationships with my coaches, with my team. So my team is relatively small, and And it hurts sometimes when you feel like you are letting people down. And for me as a leader, that has taken some time to develop. But I will also say, what was I going to say? I'll come back to it. I had something and then I totally lost it. But I do think that as a leader, it's just, you just have to raise the bar for yourself first. And so I always think of it as a leader, somebody who's leading from the front. And they are the ones that are not just talking about what to do. They are showing people what they are doing. They're saying, okay, I'm going to raise my bar here. I know what I'm capable of, and I'm going to show you how I'm doing that so that you can take my lead. And then you start to naturally feel like people start following you, and those people who are going to lead are going to follow in your footsteps. And I know, within the last 4 years of my journey, that Melanie always set the bar high. She wasn't telling us to do something and then not doing it herself. And I felt a responsibility in the same regard. I would never want my team to do something that I myself wasn't doing, because I just don't think that's fair leadership. I don't think that's a good quality. So as a leader, I think you really have to be not just willing to talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. You have to be willing to do that for your team.
Yeah. So I love that you said leadership is a journey. And as I've followed you guys for the past few years, I've really seen you both grow in confidence and just being able to say, hey, I got this, and really pass that confidence on to others. Can you just talk about growing in confidence? You know, I see you guys posting videos, going Facebook Live, sharing content. And I know for a lot of people, they're scared to death to put themselves out there. And really, it's just because of the fear and insecurity. So how did you struggle with fear and insecurity in the beginning of your journey? How have you really grown to be confident enough to just put yourself out there?
Yeah, I will say it's a lot of personal development. I mean, you cannot become a confident person, a confident leader, without really thinking about who you are, where you've come from, and your own experiences. And so when I started this journey with Beachbody, it really was for me about my own journey with my weight. And so I wanted that accountability to keep off the weight that I had lost. So I naturally became more confident in regard to my physical appearance because I had lost weight. And I really wanted to just simply share it. As I've grown in the business and it has changed over the last couple of years, I have really seen that I just focus on how can my story help one. And I don't put it out there for the people who, are going to have opinions, the people who, are going to think certain things of me. I put it out there for the one person who needs it. And ultimately what has happened over the last couple of years is you get messages from people that say, you know, that post you put out, really, it helped me today. Or thank you so much for sharing your journey. I too have this going on. And to know you're making an impact on somebody's life has such a great impact on yourself. You know, to know that whatever you say, whatever words you say, it gives you this confidence that you need to keep doing it. And I have found in sharing my story, it's almost become an obligation, because I feel so blessed with everything that I've been given or the opportunities that have come my way. I feel blessed to pay that forward. And so Beachbody is the platform that I've been able to use to share my experiences. And I feel like I would be a jerk if I wasn't paying that forward to other people. I feel like it's rude of me not to. And in that regard, in the confidence regard, it is just my experiences are something that somebody else can benefit from. My failures, my setbacks, my struggles. If that story impacts someone, then I feel like I'm doing my job, that's what I am supposed to be doing. And when you feel like that, when you feel like you truly are doing your job, you feel very purpose driven and you feel like, okay, this is why I'm on this earth. Like this, my story is meant to be shared so that somebody else is going to have a better day, a better life, a better something, because I have impacted them in some way. And that's how I've grown with confidence, is just feeling like it matters. Like my story matters to someone. Somebody needs your story. And I tell my coaches that all the time. Somebody needs your story. They don't need Katie's. They don't need Melanie's. They don't need another leader. They need yours. And it's your job to put it out there.
I love that. I want to talk about with both of you just personal growth for a minute. You've mentioned it several times already. I always like asking leaders what books do you give away most often, or what books do you recommend to your team most often? What are the must reads? Melanie, actually, I've seen you mention The Slight Edge like a billion times, so I read that fantastic book. But what do you guys do on a daily basis to grow, and what are some of your favorite resources?
Yeah. The Slight Edge was the first book that I picked up and I read, and that one is stuck with me from the minute I started my business. And all I can remember in there is, you know, you have to be willing to do what other people are not willing to do so that you can have what other people wish they could have years from now. You know, and I always think about that. That's something that I talk to my team and I talk about, you know, the curve that you're on and all those small, seemingly insignificant things that you do every day, the Facebook posts, the reaching out to new people, the making contacts, the following up, it all, the blog posts, the live videos, even though as a new coach or as a new entrepreneur, you may think it doesn't have an impact or it doesn't make a difference, but it does. And so the Slight Edge is one that it creates that vision and kind of explains, hey, this is the bigger picture of why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I would say The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy is another one that goes in line perfect with that. And I use the pumping of the well example that is in that book like rather often with my new coaches, because it again talks about how you are vigorously, you know, pumping the well, trying to get the suction to get just those few drops of water, and how hard you have to work at the beginning to get your, you know, get your first few sales or get your first few people to sign up with you, and how hard that is. But eventually, once you create that suction and that vacuum, you can continue with the same consistent effort, but producing massive results or larger results. So I'd say that. I mentioned The Personality Plus by Florence Littauer. That's one that helped me. I actually categorized all of my customers, all of my coaches, and that taught me, okay, you know, what kind of personality style do people have? They respond better to verbal praise and shout outs, and these people need me to tell them exactly what to do. So that was sort of the jumping off point for me when it came to beginning leadership.
Question on that. So, cause I'm just curious for team's sake. So do you have like an Excel chart with all your coaches and it's like sanguine, cleric, like, and you just, mm-hmm. just look at it anytime. Is that what you do? Just
the Excel spreadsheet, like where my coaches are.
Yeah, you just put their name and what their personality is. I'm just curious, like, what else do you do to be able to relate to people? I think that's interesting.
I don't have like an Excel spreadsheet with everybody. I just sort of, when I'm talking to a new coach or when I'm on the phone with them and we're setting goals or it just through the process, I'll listen for little things. And sometimes I'll say like, what are you motivated by? You know, and then sometimes I have to guide them and I'll say, are you motivated by praise? Are you motivated by income? And then sometimes they'll say, well, both. And I'm like, okay, let's rank one versus the other. And so that just guides my conversation. And also before I pick up the phone, I think about, okay, what's this personality style? I need to be more of a listener. Oh, when I get on the phone with this person, I need to ask them how their day was. I have to spend that 5 minutes. But with Sally, I just jump into the goals because that's all she wants to do. She's business. So that it helps me know how to direct the conversation with people when I know what personality style they are.
Very cool. Katie, any book recommendations or resources?
Yeah, actually earlier this year I read 12 Week Year by Brian Moran, I think it is. I have it here. I'll show you. I tab and bookmark everything and definitely. Nice. So this book is great because it actually helps you break down goals weekly. So it's kind of the concept of like backward design. So you have a goal in mind at the end of 12 weeks, and then you break down exactly what you need to do on any given day. And I actually just bought this and I started filling it out yesterday. It's called a self journal. And what you do with the self journal is it allows you to break down your 12 week goal. And each day, like focus on the things that you need to do to be able to achieve that 12 week goal. I found that it's great to have these long-term goals, like a 1 year goal, but really it's easier to visualize what's going to happen in 12 weeks as opposed to this long-term goal. I did a talk one time about driving towards daylight, having this great vision in front of you. But what matters more is the mile markers that you are seeing along the road. And so those little small achievements along the road are ultimately what lead you to your daylight, what leads you to your ultimate goal. So the 12-week goal is a great one for breaking down. Earlier this year, I was really struggling with time balance and just feeling like I was pushing. I was pushing all the time towards these goals, and I felt very much like I wasn't being present. And so this one, and I can't say her last name, but it's called Present Over Perfect. And I talked about this book on social media, and I have received more messages than I can even say about people who finally read it. And they were like, I needed this book. And it's helped me realize the difference between pushing towards a goal and actually pulling towards your vision, which are two totally separate things. Pushes feel forced, whereas when you're pulling towards something, you feel guided towards it. You feel like you have a very clear vision as to where you're going. So I've been very, I've been changing the way I actually verbalize those type of things. A book that I recommend for my challengers all the time is a Christian-based book. It's called Made to Crave by Lisa Turkhurst. And it is about why we crave certain foods, our relationship with food, and how there is something missing in our lives that we constantly feel like we need to eat. Every challenge group that I have done that's based on this book has been stellar because it really allows you to reflect on your bigger issue with foods. In terms of the business, and I talk about personal development for my challengers too, because it's just as relevant as it is to my coaches. Because personal development isn't meant just for a leader, it is meant for anyone to grow personally, to make a shift, to make a change, because we all are looking for these things to change about ourselves. So I do recommend it to my challengers too. And then the one that I'm reading right now, which is really interesting, and I don't have the author's name in front of me, it's a book called Fascinate. And it is about marketing through storytelling, but using your natural gifts and the skills that you have to actually create a following. And it has been like just this really great book. It's very different for someone like Katie to market because of what people follow me for. So people tend to follow me who want to be inspired, but who trust me. Like there's a deep sense of trust with someone. Whereas there is a different marketing strategy for people who are very like, what's that? Like very like flowy, like very free spirited. It's a very different strategy you would take with your followers. The book is called Fascinate and I can't remember her name. So if you need me to, I will send that your way, but it has been really good. It's been a really good read. So yeah, that's what I got.
That's great. So I'm always interested in people's routines that enable them to be successful. I'm curious, how do you guys, you don't have to name all of them, but what systems do you have in place in your life to make sure that you're doing the right things daily? You know, do you guys create a to-do list at the beginning of the day every day? Do you guys write your goals every week? You know, what are the things that really set you up on a daily basis for success?
So Melanie is the queen of systems. So I am going to have her totally talk about that because that is her jam completely.
I do. I am a systems person, and I do that. From the minute I started coaching, I had a planner and a to-do list. Now I can't say I have this beautifully organized planner and system, but it works really well for me. And I am the kind of person that constantly has ideas going through my mind. I mean, 24/7, there are things going on. And I found that it was causing me anxiety to keep it all inside. And so I just started carrying a notebook around the house with me and sticky notes, because I worked at my kitchen table or on the couch or, you know, on the countertop. When my kids were little, I didn't have an office and have a designated space. And so as things would come to my mind, things I wanted to do, I would just write them down. And I always call it, it's so inappropriate, my dump list, like my master dump list is what I would call it, right? And I just would, whatever kind of came into my mind went on this list. And then every single evening before I would go to bed, I would take a look at the list, you know, and I would say, okay, what are the most important things that I need to accomplish tomorrow? And so I would pick off of that list my top three priorities. And I used to, made the mistake at first of putting 10 and 12 things on my to-do list. And realistically, I've learned over time that if I can get through three of the most important things, then it's been a good day. And so I will take those three things. And so that would be what I would focus on the next day. And so I do that on a daily basis, but on a weekly basis, I will sit down and Sundays are my planning days. And Sunday mornings is, I try to make it my rest day from my workouts, but it's my meal planning. I do all my meal planning for the week. I write my meal plan. I write my blog post about it. But then I also plan my business, my personal life. So anything that's going on for our family, anything that I need to accomplish for my business for the week, I use a Google Calendar. And so I'll plug in my family stuff. I plug in my workouts. But then again, I've got that list of things that I want to accomplish. And then I say to myself, okay, Melanie, what is your goal for the week? What do you need to accomplish? And so I will block out my business time of when I'm going to spend time working on my personal business. And then I'll just plug that right into my Google Calendar, the activities I'm going to do during that time. And so then I have, you know, my personal business, but then I also have my team. So then my afternoons, a couple of days a week, are set up so that my coaches can schedule one-on-one calls with me. I can do group calls. I can do team calls. And I just live my life by my Google Calendar because it can sync to my phone. And I can send my husband, you know, messages like notifications, and we're all, everything, my whole life, kids and everything, is on one calendar. Yeah. But I will tell you, you know, there are times even within the week, within the day, I will look at my to-do list and say, you know, yep, I put that on the list of things to do today, but it's not a priority anymore, right? I will look, I'm flexible enough to realize that I need to do the things that are going to bring me the fastest success or closest to the goal as fast as I can get there. So, Katie, what else?
No, I was just thinking you've come a long way with that too, where you can actually, and not even like the most successful, you actually have come a long way in the sense that you're like, this is not a priority right now. So, and that's just, that's something that I have seen in you grow as a leader. Yeah.
So. And you brought up a good point, and that is one thing. I used to be on 24/7, and I used to be attached to my phone. I used, every time my phone would ding, I was just instantly answering messages. And I had no separation, you know, my personal life and my business. And so that burned me. And I will say I've had some, you know, knockdown, drag out arguments with my husband about, you know, where my boundaries are at. And I've learned to create these blocks of my time. And it actually goes into my Google Calendar at 3:50 when the kids get off the bus until about 8 o'clock at night. You know, it's on silent. My phone is away. I very rarely will even get on the computer unless the boys are playing. But I have learned to create these pockets where I respect my relationship and my top priorities with my family. And so that's another thing I've really grown into over the past 5 years.
Yeah. You'll probably get a thank you note from my wife if I implement that. So I'll make sure to give you credit. That's awesome. I love that. I do want to ask you guys, so you both have been successful with Beachbody. And if you follow you guys, I mean, sometimes from the outside, it could be like, wow, what a lifestyle, right? You guys get to go to Fiji, all these top 10 trips, all these retreats. I'm like, man, I wish I was a top Beachbody coach. But I'm curious, so as high as the highs are, I'm curious, on a day-to-day, do you struggle, just like anybody else? Melanie, I saw you posted, you bought that like button that has the F word on it, it was hilarious, you know. And the day-to-day struggle, can you guys talk about that? Because it's easy to look at everyone's highlight reels on both of your Facebook pages and be like, wow, I'm never going to do that, or I wish I had that. Can you talk about what it's actually like? And even if you do get to go to those trips, the reality is it doesn't make your life complete, right? It's like, so can you just talk about success and maybe some of the downfalls of that as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's totally up to you.
I don't know. I just, you know, yes, we all have highs and lows. And I think, and Katie and I are, outside of like the Beachbody business, we're really great friends, right? She's one of my best friends. And I would say she knows the highs and the lows, and I know hers too. And so there are definitely days where it's like, man, I've got to force this today. You know, I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to work out today. I don't want to eat healthy, right? I mean, we have been messaging each other about all the Christmas cookies that we've been enjoying and how next week we're getting back on track, you know, with Whole30. And so there are those ups and downs. And even in the months, I'd say at least 1 week out of a month, I struggle on the motivation front. It's like there's always 1 week where I have to read more personal development, I have to lean on a friend to tell me to get my crap together and go do the things that, or in some instances, you know, she's like, you need to shut it down. You need to walk away. You just need to go and do something else. And so, yes, the trips are great. Yes, the things that we get to do are awesome and the events we go to, but it's time away from my kids, right? So it's a sacrifice. If I do these retreats or I speak at events, it's sacrifice. It's time away. It's not always easy to say goodbye to the kids for a few days and leave them. It's hard work. It's early mornings. It's late nights. But what's the payoff to the whole thing is that I get to design my own work schedule. I get to say, hey, I'm going to work this hard, and I'm going to work hard doing something that I actually enjoy and something I love. And you know what? I'm highly motivated 365 days out of the year, but that's just life. But I think that the biggest joy is being able to share my struggle and then connecting with other people on social media so that they understand that everybody struggles. But I like to teach people, this is how I'm getting through it. These are the things that I'm doing. You know, I went through a really bad bout of anxiety 2 years ago. And I didn't want to share it on social media. I think I was more embarrassed than anything. I kind of feel myself going into this depression. And I was a Saturday morning and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to post about doing yoga. I'm going to talk about doing Payo, and I'm going to talk about how this is getting me through a really rough time in my life. And it was the overwhelming response that I got on social media that made me realize there is a need for this. I need to run a group that helps people with anxiety and teaching them how to calm the chatter in their minds. And by me embracing that and sharing that on social media, I was able to overcome that obstacle in my life, but also be able to help other people too. So.
Yeah. And just along those lines too, social media is really loud. It's really noisy and it's really hard sometimes to turn it off. And it's really hard sometimes to see the highlight reels of other people, especially in our business too, when coaches are shouting out their ranks and in some cases shouting out their incomes and shouting out, and you can go into this feeling of I'm not enough. And I have found over, especially this year in 2016, I've really found this is income means very little to me if I don't feel like I'm making an impact. I feel like a lot of people get really caught up in the shiny objects, or they see, you know, like the cars people drive or the houses people live in, or I don't know, the gifts people give. And for me, I look at all that and it's nice. But if I'm not making an impact, I am not fulfilled at all. I am very impact driven. And I kind of learned that this year. Earlier this year, a very close friend of mine gave birth to her daughter, Frankie, and Frankie was stillborn. Frankie was born an angel, as we say. And I am one of those people where I can't fix things. I want to fix things, but I can't always. But one thing I can do is I can get people to rally around a cause. And so at that time, I just knew that we needed to make something good happen from something hard and something bad. And it was not about the income. It was not about the business. It was not about Beachbody. It was not about sweating for a six pack. It was sweating because you were simply blessed enough to be able to do so. And so we started again. We just said, every sweat matters. And on social media, it was every sweat matters, every sweat matters. And of course it connected back to my income. Of course it did. But that wasn't the goal. The goal wasn't the income. The goal was make an impact, do something positive with something you've been given. And so, you know, we were able to raise $10,000 for the Finley Project that helps moms who've lost their children in childbirth or have given birth to angel babies like Frankie. And I couldn't have done that without the platform of Beachbody. But the platform of Beachbody is what has allowed this mission of Every Sweat Matters to become something that other people can connect with. They're no longer just sweating or trying to get a six pack or lose that 5 pounds or just, you know, they're trying to look a certain way or look good in a bikini, because that's not me, that's not my jam. But what my jam is it really is helping people find a bigger reason to sweat, you know, sweating because you can, sweating for those who can't. Every sweat just matters. And I know that that's what makes a difference, is having that vision of what your company's mission can personally mean to you. When you personalize the mission of a company and say, this is what it means to me, and this is how it looks to me, you stand out above the noise and a crowd. And it's not because of how much money you put into your bank account. You know, Melanie is successful as a coach because she has made an impact, not because, you know, she has a number of successful coaches. It's because she's made an impact, and it's not because she's setting out to make a certain dollar amount. You know, we share a lot as coaches. We share our tips. We share our strategies because we want to see other people succeed. It's not about anything else. And I tell my coaches this, but I just truly believe in this type of business. There is nobody that deserves to make an income if they aren't making an impact. And it takes courage and confidence to be able to make an impact. It really does.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one of my questions. So obviously you've both done well financially. What I love about you guys is you guys were friends at Pitch On Sound, right? Before you guys had anything. yeah. So I'm just curious, like, has money changed either of you? It doesn't seem like it has, but you know, when someone makes six figures or whatever you guys make, what does it actually feel like, right? Because so many people, even in the joint Beachbody or really any career, say, oh, if I made this amount a year and lived in this neighborhood, then I'd feel, you know, fulfilled. Can you just talk about what money actually can do versus what it can't do?
Yeah, it's just – I'm not a money person. I like nice things. I like to live in a nice house. I enjoy it.
Shopping.
I love to shop. I really do. And I would say that was a big thing when my husband and I got married. I had a goal of being a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to stay home, and Matt worked as hard as he could, and we cut every corner that we could so that I could be a stay-at-home mom. And we literally lived bare bones. And you know, our biggest argument in our marriage and the first 2 years was money. It was, Melanie, what the heck did you buy at Target for $10.15? Call me at my, when I worked a full-time job, he would call me and he would say, and I would be in the middle of a meeting thinking something was wrong. And he was just analyzing the bank account, you know, or when I quit, when did eventually quit my job and I was home with both boys, I would have to say, hey, can I go to the grocery store today? No, we can't go. We have to wait till payday. And so, you know, that was a big stress on our marriage. And when I started making some money with Beachbody, it sort of relieved that pressure. Even my mom pointed out to me, she goes, you and Matt aren't arguing anymore about money. And I can remember sort of that moment where it was like, sure, you know, whatever you want, just go buy what you want to get, you know, at the grocery store. We didn't have to stress about it. I didn't have to make sure I had enough money in the bank account. And I will tell you, for me, that made a big difference in my marriage. I'm very blessed that Beachbody has given us the opportunity to save our kids' college education, to be able to pay off our credit card debt. But I will tell you, it hasn't changed, and I'm pretty sure Katie can say the same, it hasn't changed who I am as a person, and money doesn't fix issues. It doesn't make your marriage like perfect. It doesn't make you have, you know, it just, you don't change who you are. It just enhances your life. And that is sort of how Matt and I look at it. We just now have the freedom to give our kids things that maybe we, and experiences, you know, like trips and educational vacations that we wouldn't have been able to do before.
Yeah. I get teary eyed when I think about that because I was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago, and I remember people reaching out and saying, well, how can we help offset the cost of this? And Mike and I, we didn't want to take people's money. Like, people were so kind and so generous to us, but we knew we had it. Like, we knew we could afford the medical treatments that I needed to go through chemo, to go through all of my scans and everything. And I remember sitting at the table, and Mike had this pile like this thick of medical bills, and he wrote one check, and it covered everything. And to have that peace of mind when you're going through something as difficult as a cancer treatment or an illness, to have the peace of mind of knowing that we have the money, that isn't even a thought, that this is taken care of, that this is done, that this is covered, that, like, even thinking about it now is, that's beyond like all words. And then the other one is, I feel very called to do something with my income. And so right now we're in the process of opening a nonprofit. And because we're opening that nonprofit, it takes money to have upfront to do the paperwork, to hire the lawyers, to do all of that. And even for us, it's the inventory of the t-shirts that we have through Every Sweat Matters. And that takes money. And we didn't have to take out a loan to start that business. We didn't have to take out a loan to start the paperwork because it matters. Like, those are the kind of things that matter to me. And our boys are okay. You know, they're going to go to college, that everything's going to be taken care of, but that isn't what matters. You know, again, I don't feel like you deserve an income if you aren't making an impact. And if I felt very connected to my income, I would change the way. I know that I am off when I think too much about money. And mm-hmm. Melanie knows that too about me. Like, if I start getting caught up in what other people are making or how other people are doing, or if I'm not where I want to be financially, I lose sight of what I'm fighting for, of what matters to me, my purpose.
Yeah. So Katie, so obviously found out at a young age, really anytime you find out bad news, you had cancer. I'm just curious, how did that impact your day-to-day life? How do you view life differently than prior to receiving that phone call or the news?
Yeah. You know, I truly feel that it happened to me for a reason. I do believe that I was gifted, and I say that and people think I'm crazy. Like, I was gifted cancer, and it became a blessing to me because it changed how I looked at the way I was living my life. I was so focused on goals, on income, on, you know, just doing and filling a schedule. And once you become diagnosed with something like cancer, you don't ever stop fighting it. And so now for me, because I'm in remission, I'll be 3 years next August. Sure. I just feel very, very called to help other people who are going through what I go through. And the platform of Beachbody has allowed me to reach more people. It has allowed me to talk about the fact that, you know, I sweat in the morning because I can. And if you're like not working out because you just don't feel like it, well, I kind of call BS on your excuse. You know, somebody is going through a treatment and you can't get off the couch and go work out. And it's made me just this kind of coach that I think people relate to because I don't listen to your BS. I don't have it. And throughout the treatments, I was just sweating. That's just what I did. And I was working out and not letting other people have an excuse. And so even today, I still look at that and say, well, every sweat matters. That's what I'm known for. That's how the mission of Beachbody became my personal mission. And now, even today, it's allowed me to continue to raise funds, continue to raise awareness. I'm on the board for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, you know, the nonprofit, the ESM project. It's just allowed me to have a voice for the people who don't have the voice. And there's so many stories out there that matter. And it's just a matter of being able to give it life, to give them the voice that they need. And that's what I feel really called to do. And that's how I've changed. I'm very blessed because of cancer. I do believe that. So
thank you for sharing. So for time's sake, I have a lot more I want to cover, but we have to kind of move to a lightning round because I want to respect you guys' times.
Sure.
I want to talk about sales. So I'll just leave it open-ended and let you guys kind of give bullet points. But what does it take to be successful in sales, and where do you see most people miss it when it comes to sales?
So I'll just answer real quick because this is lightning. Honestly, for me, it is you have to believe in what you're selling, and you have to be using the product that you're selling, and you have to have a story about how the product has made an impact on you, and you have to constantly be sharing your story. You are not selling a product. You are sharing your personal experience, your personal journey with it, and that has made all the difference. If you look at my Facebook page or Melanie's Facebook page, you do not see sales. You see stories of how it has impacted us in some way. So that is by far what I see most people are missing is they hang on to a product. They try to sell a product. They don't try to share the product. Totally different things.
Yeah. I wrote the same thing down. It's if you go into this thinking I have to sell challenge packs and that's all you're focused on, it's not going to happen. I always say if people buy you, they're not buying the product. And if you don't have that passion for it, then it's not going to shine through. It's going to feel very, very forced.
Yeah. So I guess this would be both of you around sales, but I am curious. So we talked about how you guys got to the top, the daily discipline, the jump into leadership. It's one thing to make it to the top, but it's another thing to stay there, right? I know you've been top coach 2 years in a row. You guys have been consistently ranked. Being real, so if I look through my Facebook feed, everyone's copying you, right? It's like, hey, just do what Melanie does. And it's great, but at the same time, so all these people are now trying to do the same thing you're doing. What's enabled you to stay at the top versus you guys just getting lost and having a lucky year, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So people do. I do see people that copy and kind of try to emulate. And you can't be a cookie cutter. That you can't be a cookie cutter Beachbody coach. I mean, you have to have your own voice and you have to have your own personality style. And you can look at other leaders as inspiration, but it has to be in line with your values and your personality. You've got to do your own stuff. And I would say, honestly, the best thing that I've ever done is unfollowed or hid some other people in the network that maybe I feel are competition or that maybe just kind of, you know, stir up that anxiety in me because I do my best when I'm running my own race. And when I do not take my blinders off and I just do what I love, I have the most success in my business. But the minute I pick my head up, and it's still, even being the number one coach, it doesn't matter. I still have insecurities. I still compare myself to other people. But when I start doing that is when I get off. It's when I start to, I'm missing the mark. But if I just focus on Melanie and what Melanie loves to do and the vision and the mission and the words that come from my mouth, I am good to go on that front for sure. What was the other question that you asked too? Was there a two part?
Probably, no? But I lost it.
Yeah. Okay.
I moved on to the next one. So sorry, just trying to run through. Just talk about leadership development when it comes to teams. What do you do both do intentionally to develop your team? Is it weekly calls? I know you guys do retreats. I'd be interested in what your focus is. Just how do you actually develop your teams? Best advice.
Just being present. Facebook Live within the groups on our team page has been wonderful. Just kind of letting them know and leading by example, showing them exactly what we're doing. So, you know, it might be that like something so simple that I don't think much about is my calendar, how I plan out my month. So I might just go live on the page and screenshot, you know, this is my calendar. This is how I do it. This is why I'm running this group on this week. This is why I'm advertising for this on this given week. You know, we do weekly calls. Melanie has such a big team that my team plugs into her calls. We do those weekly. And honestly, it is leading by example, like just showing people what you're doing, walking them through it, and always guiding them back to where they can get their answers. And really just letting them know that you've set your own bar high so they too will do the same.
Right. Team calls. And I'm really big on running groups. Like I love to run every month. I start e-commerce trainings. We have our Rising Stars, which is our Diamond and Above. Every Wednesday morning, we have a coffee and conversation, you know, so it's just sort of every single month, there's places for people to plug into so that people don't feel like they're left out there to figure it out on their own, because we have so many leaders that have created so many guides and systems. We try to run, you know, those groups, and I do it from my whole downline. Anybody that wants to participate is always welcome to join.
Yeah. So you guys are kind of everywhere. You've mentioned Facebook groups, you guys do everything. YouTube. Best return on investment is just be everywhere. Or do you have one specific thing you're like, hey, if you're going to spend the most time on social, be on that, you know, do you have any advice there?
Mine's Facebook. I have a pretty successful like page, a business page, but I also still run my story. Like I talk about myself and my family and everything just on my Facebook page. That has always been key. I do have Instagram. I have a great following on there, but that is not where I've seen a quote unquote return on investment. And blogging is a great way to have people come back, but it always comes back to getting to know me on Facebook. That's been my experience with it.
And my blog has been my biggest return on investment. So I would say that was the one thing that at the beginning, you know, I put a lot of time into making blog posts and getting one or two or three views and sometimes zero views. But it was that constant putting information out there. And that was my sort of my slight edge, my compound effect, where that just sort of took off and I was able to use my blog to share information. I would interject it into my challenge group scripts. And anytime I was advertising for a new group where I would talk about coaching or success stories with my challengers, it was my way to put it out there and pin that stuff on Pinterest and share it as a Facebook post. But I will say to anybody that's watching this, if you don't love to write, don't do a blog, right? Like that's not, you don't want to do something that you don't like to do. If you don't like to be on Facebook, don't use Facebook. If you like Instagram, it is the thing that you feel most passionate about, if it's making videos, do YouTube.
Yeah.
But you have to pick
workouts. Yeah. Some people are really great with doing the workouts live. Yeah.
Yeah. But you pick that one area and you pour your focus into that. And if you do, that will be your biggest success, you know, but you just can't sprinkle yourself everywhere because then you're just kind of meh all over the place. You got to have one area that you're really focused on making a success.
Okay, last business question, then I'll have a personal one and we'll wrap up. Business question, where do you see young leader, one, what can young people or new leaders do to separate themselves? And where do you see them missing it most often? You talked about the 80-20 rule and you thought these three were the most promising. I don't know if that was based on personality or whatever, but when push comes to shove, people either get results or they don't. What separates the ones from who make the ranks versus those who don't?
So I think that they have to personally have their own vision. They have to take that mission of whatever their company mission is, and they have to personalize it so that you know that they have this skin in the game, that they really are in it for the right reasons, beyond a quick fix, beyond an income. And the other is, I really think work ethic. If I tell somebody to do something like, this is what I do, this is what I suggest, and they go with it, like they're teachable, that is something that says, okay, they're coachable. I just told them what to do. They applied it. Maybe they didn't get the results they wanted when they applied it, but they're teachable. That's a big part. And another thing is, I always say to myself, like, when I'm thinking about something, or when I'm moving in a new direction, or when my coaches need some guidance, I ask them, have you maximized your potential? And whether it's in a challenge group, or they're getting ready to run a new blog or whatever, you always have to ask, have you maximized your potential? Have you done everything in your power to achieve that goal? Or do you feel like you could have done better? And so asking them that question allows them to reflect. And if they can honestly say, yeah, I couldn't have done any more, and I can look at their business and say, you're right, you couldn't have done more. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. That is what speaks to you, their work ethic, their consistency. And most above all is that they're coachable. They have to be coachable.
Love it. Melanie, anything?
She did an incredible job answering that question. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about recruiting, and they were saying, you know, why do people struggle with recruiting, or why do people have a hard time? And it's not that they're not good at, it's not that they're not good at what they do, or they don't have something great to offer. Like, a lot of times Beachbody coaches, they figured out what they're really great at doing. They figured out sort of their niche, and to the younger people, figure out, number one, what it is that you're good at, the angle that you like in this business that brings you the most joy, but then learning how to communicate that effectively and being able to get it out there so that you catch people. And so that was the one thing for when I was a younger coach and newer in the business that I had to keep working at. How do I get my message out so that it gets in front of the right people? And to not give up. That's a really, a lot of times people, they're almost at the mark, they're about to hit the mark, and they give up. And, you know, you just have to keep working at sharing your story, the right wording, the right angle, until it all comes together. But if you're just focused on selling, you're going to keep missing the mark. It's about the story and making and figuring out how to communicate that effectively. So
great. Favorite Beachbody program and coach, or I'm sorry, and trainer. Go. Sorry.
Ashanti and Insanity, because that I would say is my, like, Max 30 was my favorite. Max 30, Ashanti.
Okay. I'm doing Max 30 now, and it is not my favorite. My favorite trainer is probably, I really like Jericho. She's a newer trainer. She does Core to Force. But my actual favorite program that I got the best results with and that I love was Hammer and Chisel. But I would actually, I'm not gonna lie, I would have to mute them. I did. them. I would be like, I know what to do, but I can't hear you right now. So yeah.
That's beautiful. So yeah, best results I got, P90X2, favorite program, Body Beast, favorite trainer, Sagi. Like, my wife and I want to ask, when are you guys bringing Sagi into town? Like, I'll pay like $1 million to go to the event.
Oh, yeah?
We have to talk to Marketing Council. Totally. Never even thought about that.
Please bring the beast. All right, last question. I know I'll just leave it open-ended, but looking back on your life one day, what do you guys want to be remembered for?
I really want to be remembered for it's the impact, and I'm pretty sure Katie's going to say the same thing too. You can't take anything with you when you go. You can't take your things. You can't take your bank account, your cars, your clothes, any of that stuff. But at the end of the day, I want to look back and I want to be remembered for the positive, inspiring, good things that I've done, the mark that I've left on this world. And I want, you know, there's a lot of bad, there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of people that have ill intentions. And I just want people to always know that every decision that I've ever made in my business, in my life, has been done with a lot of heart and a lot of good intentions. And that I just want people to know that I'm a good person, and my mission is to help other people find their fullest potential and live that life to the fullest. And I just want to look back and for people to really feel like I had an impact in a positive way, and that I was a good person. I was true to what came across on social media is true to the person that I really am behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Katie?
I mean, what she said. I mean, I'm like, you just really want to make an impact. You just, you want to leave something behind, and what you want to leave behind is a legacy, so that, you know, when I pass, I want people to remember, oh, that Every Sweat Matters, that was Katie, you know, like this is, she is cause driven, you know? And I really, I love the idea that my kids, I am that kind of mom for them, you know, whether it's that we put a chimney in our front yard for a charity or what we're doing. Like, I want my kids to just be kind above all. I want my kids to just be kind people and to make good choices that have an impact on other people. And to know that I maybe had a little bit of an influence on that is really the legacy that I kind of want to leave behind.
That's great. Well, hey, thank you guys both for doing this interview. Thank you for just being you. You impact me on a daily basis. I follow you both and I'm inspired daily to give my all. So thank you for being a part of my daily life. And thanks for making the impact.
Sure.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening to my interview with Melanie and Katie. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to connect with them, you can go to l3leadership.org/episode127, and you'll find all the ways to connect with them there. And if you want to stay in touch with what we're doing at L3 Leadership, you can sign up for our email list on our website, and you'll also get a free copy of my ebook, Making the Most of Mentoring, which is my step-by-step process for how I get meetings with leaders. I want to thank our other sponsor, 068, which is a company led by my friend Daniel Bull. And they actually start companies with ex-convicts, which is amazing. And you can check out all the great work that they're doing at 068.org. That's 068, all spelled out, .org. Again, if you enjoy the podcast, I'd really appreciate if you would subscribe and leave a rating and review. It really does help us and makes a difference. And as always, I like to leave with a quote. And given that this is the last podcast episode of 2016, I'll share my favorite New Year quote. Every year it's my favorite. And John Maxwell once said this. He said, "Although you cannot go back and have a brand new start, my friend, anyone can start today and have a brand new end." And I hope that you have a wonderful end to 2016 and a great launch to 2017. I hope it's the best year of your life. Thanks for listening and being a part of L3 Leadership. My wife, Laura, and I appreciate you so much. Have a great day.